James chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 13 to 17. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. I'll read verse 13 and you read verse 14 with me. James chapter 4 and verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it's perfect, it's pure, it's preserved, and we can build our lives on it. Please help me to tell the truth in the way that you would have it told. Strengthen us. Help us, Lord, please, this evening. Lord, you're willing to do that for us. May we be willing to have it done, please. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Keep your Bibles open at James chapter 4. People make statements. Time goes by so quickly. Time flies. And I like the return statement. Well, if time flies, God better be your pilot, or you're going to waste your life. The older you are, the faster life goes. I don't know if you think about this or not. I know the young people probably won't mean a whole lot to them, but we're 20 years removed from recovering from Y2K. I remember that, you know, at midnight, you know, everything's going to change. And so we are 8 years removed from when the heathen Mayan calendar said the earth was going to be destroyed in 2012. You know, everybody said 2012, you know. God says here, verse number 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And then this question that God wants you to ask about each person, yourself. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. God isn't saying, don't prepare for the future. God is saying, don't plan for the future as if it's guaranteed. That's what God's saying. And I just want to show you this. We're going to come back here. Keep your finger there and go to Luke. Luke chapter 12. And look at verse 15. So once again, it's not wrong to plan. It's not wrong. You'll hear me say later tonight, everybody ought to have goals and there ought to be spiritual desires and everything. But we're not supposed to plan as if it is guaranteed. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 15, just follow along here. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You could stop right there and just focus on that truth for the 1 week. Our life does not consist of what we possess. Then look to illustrate that. Jesus says, look at verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, isn't that good? If you're talking to yourself, hey, self, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, me personally, I would rather eat, drink, and be Joseph, and I would let the ladies eat, drink, and be merry. That's a joke. I wish you had heard that, okay? All right. Verse number 20. Now, verse 20 ought to be marked, and you ought to think about it, because this is the whole picture of the parable. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's the illustration of saying, all that I have belongs to me, my life is certain, and my future is without God, and it's guaranteed. And God said, you fool, I'm going to call you, I'm going to take you out tonight. Then what will become of all your labors? You fool. Now, that's the illustrating passage there. Wonderful things to think on. Let's go back to James chapter 4. God says a fool plans for the future without considering God in your plans. And I'm thankful for all our church has going on. When you look at our church calendar, yeah, we planned out the year. We've got guest speakers coming. We planned out going to youth camp again this summer. Look at our church calendar. We're not planning, but we try to budget our money, right? We try our best. This much came in, and I know we're just kind of doing the same budget this year that we did last year. But God tells us to plan and to schedule. You need verses on that, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 6, chapter 24. But we're to prepare. But tomorrow is not guaranteed to any one of us. And God tells us what to say in verse 15. Okay, you're in James 4. Look at verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. So God says, that's me putting God in my plan, saying, you know what? I've got a plan tomorrow. And Lord willing, this is what I hope to do. And that's me putting God in the recipe. God says the way you ought to talk is if the Lord will. So, with the help of God, with the strength of God, this is what I plan on doing. These are statements of faith. These are not laziness or someone who doesn't like to live by a schedule or prepare. We have sung God's praises in this auditorium. We have prayed many times for those that were sick and hurting. We have left here and went soul winning Saturday after Tuesday after Saturday after Tuesday. We've wept in this same room and mourned the loss of those that the Lord has taken home. God didn't show us everything that we would go through this year. You know why? So we didn't get discouraged and quit. What we're facing now, I like making the statement, we've never faced this before. No problem. God didn't tell us back in November, I think when Patient Zero hit the scene, hey, guess what's coming? God just said, trust me. Trust me for tomorrow. But none of us knew. God doesn't show us, okay? God's not going to show us what's going to happen next year either in 2021. All right? That's so we don't get discouraged and quit. He's the only one who knows what tomorrow holds because he's the only one who holds tomorrow. Deuteronomy 33:25 says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And you do know this, child of God. God has not called us to walk by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. God doesn't tell us what's going to be tomorrow, but this is what God does promise us. I am with you always, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's what we're promised. But I'm not promised that everything is going to go my way tomorrow, and everything's going to be the way I think it should be. I just love that statement. God says, whatever you face, I'll be with you, and I'll never leave you. I'll be with you through it all. And what's the rest of the verse say? Not being covetous, let us be content, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If I have God, if he's going to be with me, I can face anything. There's things I've been through I wouldn't want to go through again if you put a gun to my head. It was awful. But I can also say this, everything I've been through, the Lord's helped me with. And he was there, and he never failed me. He's never failed me. I have many hopes for our church. I love seeing people come to know Christ as their Savior. I think there's no greater joy than watching the Lord work in a Christian's life and grow them spiritually. And it means so much to me to see God use the people in our church to reach others with the gospel. To see the Lord work and answer prayer, that's beautiful. I hope to see more people be saved. I'm looking forward to our spring attendance program in April. You say, well, what's going to happen? I don't know. We're going to put out some prizes. We'll invite people to church, pass out some tracts. It'll be great. Well, yeah, but it'll be great. All you can do is go forward. Amen. You know what I hope we come across? There's scared people out there. They're terrified. They don't have the Lord. I hope God leads us across their paths. I really do. I hope, you know, my prayer is, I hope the Lord uses us to bring glory to His name through this coronavirus thing, whatever it is. And I think when we meet people that are terrified, I hope we could open up the Bible and show them, you don't have to. Let me show you something that's true. And you could give them the gospel and be a blessing. I hope the Lord uses every one of us. And I'll tell you, that's what I've been praying. God says here, I know none of that may happen, or all of it may happen, and we won't be a participant. Amen? But I know, all right. James 4, verse 14. Watch this. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. God says, consider the fact that the best laid plans depend on the Lord. Plans that are righteous and good, nothing sinful or selfish, depend upon God, enabling us to breathe, walk, and work. And everyone needs hopes of serving God and being used for the Lord, knowing that we will need God. And just because we have hopes and dreams, we shouldn't take one step without God's leadership and blessing and looking for it. I don't know if you realize it or not. In St. Mary's County last year, 20 people died in vehicle accidents. I think there was a little over 1,300 vehicle accidents in our county. There were 20 deaths. That means 20 people got in a car and they never returned home. Sometime in the 2019. When we part, it would be nice for us to say, Lord willing, because it's not certain what the life or the world is going to be allowed to bring our way, and we don't know what God has for us. Yeah, I hope to see you Wednesday night. I got plans. I got the Bible study. Man, we're cooking and smoking. I'm not smoking. That's against church policy. But I mean, yeah, I'm excited about it. I plan on being here. But we ought to say, Lord willing, you know, Lord willing. I think you should live by a schedule. You should plan and budget your finances so you can take care of the responsibility, the obligations you've taken on. But after you've planned, scheduled, and budgeted, you should hit your knees and say, God, please keep me employed. God, please keep me able. God, please help me do the right thing and provide for my family. I think you should, but there has to be a reliance on the Lord. That verse 14, what is your life? It is even a vapor. 70 years ago, after we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the atomic age began. And people were like, oh, now we live with atomic bombs. Well, what's the big deal? Do you realize once they launch a missile in Russia, we have 30 minutes to impact? 30 minutes from launch to boom. Okay? Now, okay? So the fear became, we now live in an atomic age. And the 50s and the 60s were spent, oh, you ought to build a bunker. Right? And all of that, if I took a writing that was from 70 years ago about the atomic age, and if all we do is I read it, it's just two paragraphs, you replace atomic age with coronavirus. Okay? Listen carefully. Watch. In one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb. We think too much of the coronavirus. Okay? How are we to live in an atomic age? I'm tempted to reply, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited Europe almost every year. Every year. He says, or as you would have lived in Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and then cut your throat any night. Or, indeed, as you're already living in an age of cancer, syphilis, paralysis, air raids, railway accidents, motor accidents. I'm not minimizing our present situation. Believe me, you and all whom you love, listen to this, were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented, right? And quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways anyways. You know, I love hearing Brother Wilkins talk, you know, when someone went home to be with the Lord. We were talking about it. They had a heart attack, and then in 7 minutes, they were with Jesus. And as we say, oh, that's so sad, but when you think about death, that's praise the Lord. And Brother Wilkins said, you know, don't we all pray that we have a quick one? None of us want a lingering, you know, I'd rather die of a heart attack than a stroke. Amen? You know what I mean? So let me say it again. Quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways, all right? Already before the bomb or before coronavirus. The only thing we have that our ancestors didn't is high-powered narcotics and anesthetics, okay? It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have now added one more chance of a painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but it was certain. I thought this was very pertinent. Our first need is to use the sound mind that God gave us in 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, then let that bomb find us doing sensible and human things like praying and reading our Bible and working and teaching and reading and listening to music and rearing our children and playing tennis. You can tell this is 70 years ago, right? Giving the gospel and loving the family of God, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies, and a microbe can do that, but they need not dominate our minds. I thought that was pretty good. That was 70 years ago. Still pertinent, okay, to today. We should plan on raising our children for the Lord. We should pray that, Lord, please help me and I'll love you more when my daughter is 15 than I did when she was 5. Lord, help me raise my boy and I'll work hard at being more dedicated to you than when he's 16 than I did when he was 6. But when you set out on the right path with the right intent, you should say, Lord willing. James 4:13, if you're there, it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. We don't even know how today's going to end, right? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and we don't know what's going to happen for the rest of this year. James 4:14, watch this. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And this is the name of the sermon is, your life is a vapor. And I'm just going to try to help think about that, because that's the question, that's the illustration God gives. God says, I want you to ask a question about your life. What is your life? And then God answers the question. He said, I'll tell you what your life is. It's a vapor. Think about that just for a second. I know it would help if this was on a black background, you know what I mean, so you could see the mist and the steam. But you see it, and then it vanishes. And even what you see, you can't touch. I can't lay hold on it. I can't grab it. It's image. God says, what is your life? It is a vapor that's there. And then when it's done, it's not a trace is left, a shadow is left. It vanishes. It's totally gone. So God says, that's the way I want you to think about your life. You say, what's the relevance here? Okay. Your life is not permanent. It cannot be grasped. It cannot be held on to. When you look at the pictures of the past on who now is in heaven, who's serving the Lord, who got saved, who got backslid, who's now living in adultery. Look, I gave that Lighthouse Baptist Church, it doesn't exist anymore, but in Tennessee, hours I spent putting on the Hardy Plank siding and painting and learning all about power spraying and working with the power lifter. And I think it was a 8,500 square foot building we built for Sunday school from the ground up. Remember having my boys out there. I'd never seen a foundation laid before. We had the contractor working out there. The hours, I think, you could ask my wife, maybe months of time my life was put into that building. I welded the staircase handrails. Put the lighthouse on the top, did all that. It doesn't exist anymore. It's not there. What I gave my life to, and it started teaching me this, You know, I don't think life is things. I think life is people. Because what I sunk hours into, it's not there. It's not there. I don't have last year. I do have today. And it's a privilege to get to be alive and serve the Lord today. Amen? Today. I want you to take your Bible and go to Psalm 118, verse 24. We'll come back to James here. Some of you know this song. If you don't know this verse, we'll help you memorize it by singing it. Psalm 118, verse 24. You know, it's wonderful getting to study the book of Ezra this morning. God used Ezra, most believe, to pen Psalm 118 and Psalm 119. But this famous verse, and this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Can you sing with me? This is the day,
this is the day
that the Lord hath made.
Ho,
oh, we will rejoice
and be glad in it.
Everybody, oh, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh,
this is the day
that the Lord hath made. I remember on the farm, whenever we would get up, Grandma would say, rise and shine, daylight in the swamps. And then she'd always say, she said those three things every morning. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I used to go, Grandpa would come and he'd, you know, us grandkids, we'd be on the floor in the living room, you know, and he'd be putting on his boots. He'd say, you want to feed cattle with me? Better get up, boy. But I always heard Grandma's voice. Same thing. Rise and shine. Daylight in the swamps. Here it comes, here it comes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That started our day. We will rejoice. Brand new day. A fresh new start. God doesn't say don't plan. Our young people should plan on getting married, but the boys need to learn how to work hard and manage money and live holy so they can lead and set the example in their home. You have today to live for the Lord and to do things God's way and to do what you were saved to do. And when you get up each morning, you should say, this morning is a day to live for God. I have today. All you have to say over is, what does God want me to do today? I know God wants me. God doesn't want me lazy. God wants me to provide for my family. Amen. But God's got my whole day planned out. Amen. Not just because I'm a pastor, but you as a child of God. I'm going to get up Sunday morning, get my Bible, go to church, because that's what God wants me to do. I got up today, got my Bible. I'm in church tonight because that's what God wants me to do today. Today. I hope you get to meet the man or woman God has for you. I hope you get to retire. I hope you get to stay in good health and to put away money in the bank. I hope your exercise and eating right pays off. I really do. I exercise and I always think, you know, I got my blood tested so they could see how much plaque was in my arteries. This was last year. And they said, oh, your arteries are pretty clean. You're good. I said, okay, I have a question because, you know, that's my specialty is I always ask things that make you go, hmm. And I asked the guy there after he takes all this stuff off of you. And I said, so do I have a clean bill of health? He said, oh, no. He said, I just told you your arteries are clean. I said, so that widowmaker vein that's behind the heart, the one I hear so many people die from, they call it the widowmaker. I said, is that clean? He said, we can't test that one. He said, you could walk out of here, he said, and have a heart attack and drop dead in the parking lot. I said, thank you. Paid $100 for the test, right? Because I was interested in knowing, you know, is how are my veins doing? He said, oh, no, you don't have a clean bill of health. I just said your arteries are clean. Yeah, I hope you're eating right. I hope your exercise helps you. But it kind of puts things in reality, doesn't it? I'm trying. I'm doing my best. I'm doing what I can. But I don't know that I have tomorrow. Amen? I hope I do. I'm going to plan like I do. All I know is that you have today to do God's will and to live for God, and it's all you have. And you should lay out the course for your life, plan for God, plan to do God's will. But if you don't, say, Lord willing, I'm going to do it today, what God wants me to do. And then your reliance, okay, then realize this. Any reliance on myself is foolish. Listen closely. If your plans for your life don't include God, if the plans for your marriage don't include God, if the plans for your job does not include God, if your plans for college don't include God, if the plans for your family don't include God, if the plans for your retirement don't include God. Let me just park here just for a second. I'm amazed how many people can retire and say, yeah, we're going to buy an RV and just go across America for the rest of our life. And I always think, where are you going to go to church? I know I could look at any Christian and say, I know how the world lives, but that's not God's will for any person. I do know God's will for your life, and I want you to enjoy being retired. But I know you're not hedonism or living for pleasure or selfish satisfaction. That's hedonism. It's plaguing our country. All that matters is, are you having pleasure and that's the end of life? No, your pleasure is not the end of life. That's idolatry. It's worship of self. Our life is a vapor. Because listen closely. It's been 6,000 years since God said, let there be light. That's looking back. God describes the future as ages to come. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages, that means after the millennium, there's going to be another age. I think of 1,000 generations, like the Bible says three times. I'll show you that later, but that's before eternity begins. 40,000 years, 30,000 years after the millennium. Try wrapping your head around that. And I'll tell you what, you can't. Now, with that in perspective, now think of our 70 years that we have on this earth that God says are given to us. 70 years. What is that? 70 years ago would put you in the 1940s. Our life is a vapor. It's just a little time. Have you ever looked at the picture of someone you haven't seen for 30 years? I know you kids can't do this. Have you ever looked at a picture and said, wow, man, they're getting old? And did you realize they're saying the same thing about you? I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, I don't think I'm an old timer. I'm 54. He said, you looked at your hair recently? I said, good one. That was a good one. Your life's a vapor. There's a part of your life you can see. And then when you look back, it's not there anymore. James chapter 4, verse 14. God says, it appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth. Your life goes full circle. As a baby, you ride in a chair with wheels. You don't have any teeth. You eat applesauce. You don't have any hair. Then when you get older, your kids put you in a chair with wheels. You don't have any teeth. You eat applesauce as you lose your hair. You just go full circle. All right. Because this is true, verse 15 says we should say, if the Lord will. Whatever you're planning, don't leave God out of it. Well, it's Resurrection Sunday at Easter. Just don't leave God out of it. Well, at this summer, don't leave God out of it. Well, at Christmas time, don't leave God out of it. When it comes to your giving, don't leave God out of it. Well, we've got to buy cat food, and we've got to buy dog food, and we've got to buy cable and internet, and we've got to buy phone service. And you mean we don't have to help the missionaries? Put God first. God's will should be important in every area of your life as His child. And if you have a schedule, God should be in your schedule. God should be there. When do you read your Bible? Well, I got to work and I got to. When do you pray? Well, whenever I get a chance. Then I got news for you. You don't. If you don't put God in your schedule, the devil will make sure you're occupied and just so busy, you won't have time. And you'll have all the intentions of the world of doing it. But it ain't going to happen. When do you pray? Oh, I pray all the time. No, you don't. I'm in constant communion with the Lord. Really? Constant communion. Put God in your schedule. Now, look at James 4:16. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such, watch this, all such rejoicing is evil. And I want you to just think about this verse just for a second. Now ye rejoice in your boasting. So when somebody says, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to get this, we rejoice in what we want to do. It's boasting if I brag on what I do. Listen closely. It's praising God if I say, look what God did. Right? When your plans center around you and your chief advisor is you, it's evil because there's no influence of the Lord. Read the verse again. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. That's me saying what I'm going to do. This is what I want to do. These are my goals. All such rejoicing is evil. Wow. And then look at verse 17. I'm not sure there's... They call the book of James in the New Testament the book of Proverbs of the New Testament because each verse is so powerful. I'm not sure there's a more practical verse in the New Testament than verse 17. Ready? To him, therefore, because of what was just taught, your life is a vapor. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him it is sin. Because the only thing you know you have is today. And your life is a vapor, so you should do something good today. When you see how uncertain and how unguaranteed you are of tomorrow, then do something good today. And if you see that God is in control and you're not, then do something good today. Let God use you today. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I said this to encourage you, but it's wonderful to know you can start living for Jesus today. You can serve the Lord today. One of these days, people say, you know, one of these days I'm going to put God first. Well, how about today? How about today? Well, God says to him that keeps putting it off and waiting, I hope the best for you. I want the best for you. But you don't know what tomorrow holds. Is there anything that God's told you to do that you're still putting off? You're going to do it later or when it's more convenient. If you won't do it now with a room full of people to encourage you, listen, if you won't do it when God has been so good to you, that is sin. Isn't that what the verse says? To him that knows to do good. This is what God's did. See, I'm so glad God deals with every person individually. What God wants me to do is different from what God wants you to do. And when God keeps touching your heart and touching your heart about it and touching your heart about it and touching your heart, to him that knows to do good, that's between you and God. And you say, I'm going to wait. I have tomorrow. I'll do it when it's more convenient to him. Then that becomes sin. And that's between you and God. And you're the only one that can answer that question. Boy, what a verse. Verse 17. Here we go. So when are you going to do what God wants you to do? After the heart attack? After the layoff? After everybody has the same amount of time but totally different priorities? So when are you going to do what God's touching your heart to do? What God is moving, what the Spirit of God is touching you to do? Okay? Have you ever noticed this? Watch this. When you ask a lost person, if you can show them how to know for sure they're on their way to heaven by the Bible, they always say this. Well, I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't done drugs, or I haven't, and then the list goes on of all the things they haven't done. Right? Watch this. When you ask a saved person, don't you think you need to dedicate your life to the Lord since he saved you and you should start serving the Lord? They always respond the same way. Well, I haven't murdered anybody. Well, I thought the standard was higher than that. I'm glad you haven't murdered anybody. Well, I haven't robbed a bank. Good. I'll say it again. I thought the standard... Well, I'm not dealing drugs. I thought the standard was higher than that. When you ask saved people... James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. This verse isn't talking about what you haven't done. This verse is talking about what you should be doing but aren't. That is a sin. The average reader can read 15 minutes a day and read the Bible through in a year. That's what it takes to read the Bible through in a year. 15 minutes a day, right? Four chapters. There's no reason that a rational person could not read God's Word from cover to cover in 365 days. People spend hours of time on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, social media, movies, video games. Those things get hours of time. Hours, not minutes, hours. It's not a sin, and I'm gonna close with this. It's not a sin for me to not meet your expectations. And it is not a sin for you to not meet my expectations. It is a sin to not do what God wants you to do. You have today. Your life is a vapor, and then it vanishes. You only have today. Serve the Lord today. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I know this is sobering, but Lord, in a world that treats death as the worst thing that can happen,